All right, so good to be here with you today. Let's pray. We'll call upon the intercession of the saints and those who have gone before us. We'll pray in particular for those three American saints that the bishops are now considering for sainthood. We'll pray to, we'll ask Cora Evans and Michelle Dupong and Mother Margaret Mary Healy Murphy, good Irish saint, to intercede for us as well. I do want to pray for Monsignor James Shea. We'll lift up his great mission. He's a really holy man, a very bright man, and we'll pray for all those at his great university, the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. I want to pray for Bob Tabali. That's kind of my special intention today. He called me last night, and today is a critical, critical day for Dr. Tabali. So we want to go ahead and pray for him and for the best possible outcome. And things I think are going in his direction. I got a text from Bob, congratulations. But I want to pray for this man because, I mean, he's involved in a little ministry right now to help women who've lost children, whether it's through miscarriage or it was through abortion or it was, you know, through some sort of other loss. And he's created a shrine. And I often quote St. Faustina, you know, I say it over and over again, the more beautiful the work, the greater the storm that rages against it. And his work is beautiful. And what he's going to do is going to bring a lot of healing to a lot of people. But he suffered a lot personally as a result of this. So just want to pray for his blessing, his spiritual protection, the graces that he needs. We'll lift him up. He's been a great contributor to us over the years. A couple of intentions did come in. I'll try to share one or two of those with you today and ask you to pray for them. They're part of our spiritual family. This person says, I just found out my cousin, I'll keep the name anonymous, he OD'd today. Would you pray that this will be the rock bottom that wakes him up and helps him get the help that he needs for his addiction? Please also pray for his children and his mother and brother who have been so hurt by his choices. Please also pray for my other cousin who is struggling with addiction and my son's dad, all who struggle with addiction. And I'm going to keep your name anonymous. B.I. are your initials. You know who I'm talking about. She wrote to me. But, you know, that's a family that is plagued with addiction. I mean, there's a spirit of addiction in that home. Cousins, brothers, parents. I mean, it's unbelievable. And addiction destroys. It robs the soul of their future. It does. It destroys the family. It robs them of the great mission that God has set before them. But addiction is not greater than God. And I'll say it again and again. Addiction does not have the final word. God has the final word. And if you or your loved one right now are struggling with addiction, maybe it's your child and you think, there's nothing I can do for it. I hear these horror stories of fathers whose daughters are on the street. I mean, how do you deal with that, right? You just have to trust and put them into God's hands. God is in control of everything. God has the final word. God could heal an addiction just as he heals cancer and every other situation. So let's pray today for addiction. Anyone who's battled it, any of the wounds that have been the collateral damage of addiction in families and amongst loved ones. I just want to pray for new beginnings for souls today. Another person said, could you please pray for my dear friend, a fellow deacon wife who's suffering from leukemia and it's getting worse. They believe the new chemo treatment isn't working and losing hope. If it's God's will, please pray for a miracle and invoke the intercession of Blessed Fulton Sheen and St. Peregrine and St. Raphael and St. Joseph and Our Lady. She's one of the most humble, godly women I know. Jesus, I trust in you. All right, we'll pray for her. And final intention here, and then I'll bring Maggie in. I know she's got a few she wants to share. This one says, dear beloved prayer warriors, I need you once again. She's coming to you again. She says, the above friend is in desperate and immediate help. She and her husband live in Anaheim, California. They were just told that their rent is being raised. Not only are they on a fixed income, but the husband has had numerous strokes. Their insurance insisted on seeing doctors in Pasadena and also a rehab there. He's in a wheelchair. 2 weeks ago, had another stroke, and Kathleen's being the only one to take care of him. They are in need of real financial help, and she's just begging you to please pray for all those in this dire situation. So let's pray for financial difficulties, those who don't qualify for insurance, and for all the other issues that are mounting. Maggie, anything you want to lift up or pray for?
Yeah, Drew, we've got a couple people writing to us on Twitter asking for prayers for Poland and whatever's going on with those missiles that Russia launched.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I know audiences always change. People come and go. Maybe you're just joining me for the chat, but earlier today, probably about an hour or so ago, I got a report here in the studio that Russia, in a barrage of missiles, 85 of them launched at Ukraine, a missile went into Polish territory. It killed two people. And Poland's a member of NATO. The Article 5 of the NATO Charter could be enacted. You know, an attack on one is an attack on all. So we're trying to determine right now what the reports are. Poland hasn't verified this. Was it an errant missile? Was it a deliberate provocation? What we need to do is pray for peace. We will pray for peace. I'll give you the latest as that continues to come in. Maggie, is there more? Okay, well, we'll pray on our third decade with Maggie. You can get your other intentions on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. Go to at Drew Mariani Show and send us your prayer intentions. Please follow me also personally at Drew Mariani. You know, two great Twitter handles. Love seeing you there, okay? At Drew Mariani. You know, we were just talking about this. Michelle Dupont, who died of ovarian cancer. Let me sneak a last intention in here. This person says, could you pray for my friend, my husband's friend, Richie? Had surgery on his bladder, had to have it removed, and is doing well, but's in some pain. Also, please pray for Richie's wife's sister. She has fourth stage ovarian cancer plus dementia. She's having chemo, the poor thing. And just pray for that family's conversion. Well, let's ask Michelle to intercede for this woman. Michelle died from fourth stage ovarian cancer. Maybe it's providential that that intention came in today. We'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today, this one. And you can join me anytime, too. You know the number here. It's 888-914-9149. I know we have some new listeners in some cities around the country. If you are new, simply get in with your prayer intention. 888-914-9149. Of course, on Twitter, at The Drew Mariani Show. Maggie will bring it to us. But we'll go to Stuart, Florida first. Dorothy's praying with us there. Hi, Dorothy.
How are you this evening?
I'm well. I'm doing much better. Thank you for asking. How can we pray for you?
Thank you. I have a terrible back pain, and I've had treatments and everything, and it's just not getting any better, and I'm trying to continue working. And I really need the prayers of everyone, please, to help my back to be able to increase my endurance and be able to continue working.
Oh, you poor thing, Dorothy. Let's pray for you. You know, I have a friend who has really bad back problems. And I said to her, I said, you know, nobody can really relate. Nobody knows the pain that you're going through unless you suffer back pain yourself. And I remember I had a bout with it. Boy, it totally opened my eyes because it's constant and it's just so difficult on you. And I'm sorry you're going through that. But let's ask the Lord. We'll ask him right now to put his healing touch on you. And Lord, I ask for that favor. I ask that you intercede for Dorothy so she continue to work. Give her relief. There was a woman suffering from osteoporosis. I wrote about her in my book who was praying the chaplet with me, bent over her sink. And we were praying for people who had, you know, those orthopedic issues. And she felt a warmth run down her spine, was miraculously healed of osteoporosis. So, Lord, I pray for those with back problems now, herniated discs, ruptured discs, sciatica, scoliosis, any issue that they may be suffering with right now. I just ask you to give relief to those souls. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Cheryl's praying with us in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Cheryl. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to pray for my mother. She's having difficulty moving her, especially her right foot when she's walking. Possible nerve damage. She's still going to a doctor to see what it is, but it's getting worse and worse. So, I mean, she's got other issues too, smoldering myeloma. She also has osteoporosis and other things. So I just wanted to pray for her complete healing.
Yeah. Let's pray for her. We'll lift her up. Cheryl, I'm going to pray for you too and for all of your personal needs too. But let's add her to the prayer list. And Lord, we pray for anyone who is having mobility issues right now, especially problems with their feet. And we just ask, Lord, do you give healing once again, whether it's the spine or the foot or the hips, those with joint knee replacements, I bring them to you right now. Anybody who's having ambulatory mobility issues, I just ask for your mercy, Lord. It's so difficult. I pray for the elderly, especially as the body breaks down as you get older, Lord, that you'll fortify, invigorate, and you will heal. And I pray for Cheryl as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to our third call, Cynthia is in San Marcos, Texas. We go to Maggie. Maggie has been monitoring your intentions, and please send them to us at Drew Mariani Show. Follow me at Drew Mariani, and we'll get him on the air. We'll pray for you. Mag, what's coming in?
Nancy wrote to us, Drew. She said, can you please pray for the repose of the soul of my mother, Ruthie? She passed away 2 years ago in the nursing home from COVID, and I miss her so much. I thought that was so sweet. Cindy wrote to us and said, my brother Bill needs intercession for his divorce hearing in 48 hours. Jesus, I trust in you. Yvonne says, prayers of birthday blessings to my son Samuel that he might come back to his Catholic faith. And one last one here, Drew, prayer intentions for my family. This is from, I don't know what this person's real name is. Sometimes their Twitter handles are so weird. It says, hi, Drew, prayer intentions for my family for financial blessings and from protection from evil. Also for good health and well-being for my Aunt Dolores. She has stage 4 colon cancer.
Well, let's pray for all who have cancer. That's for sure. I do want to pray for those who struggle financially. First of all, Lord, we thank you for your providence and for your mercy and for all that we do have. We live in the United States of America and we are blessed. We have far more than most. But Lord, for those who don't know how they're going to meet their bills, how they're going to, you know, put food on the table, gas in the car, take care of the obligations that are before them, I just bring those souls to you, and I intercede for them, and I ask for your mercy. And I ask, Lord, that as a result of this Divine Mercy Chaplet, in a very visible way, they can see your providence. They can see the results of these prayers. So I give you everyone that Maggie has brought forward. I give you those, especially today with those financial needs. And we add Cynthia to the mix as well. She's praying with us in San Marcos, Texas. Hi, Cynthia. Good afternoon.
Hi. Today I would like to ask Blessed Michael Shapochko to pray for all these people. There is a house here called a Catholic Worker House. Mm-hmm. That houses people with terminally ill illnesses from the street, and it's closing. So I want to pray that we obtain a house somewhere soon for all the people on the street that are dying so they won't have to die alone. I want to pray for three people who've been in rehab recently, two young women who are pregnant and considering abortion.
Wow.
A young man who was speaking a lot about killing himself, and they believe that he left, and it's possible that he might have committed suicide. Wow. And all the people that, especially elderly addicts, that live alone, and we know so many of them, Drew. So thank you for everybody praying.
God bless you, Cynthia. I want to pray for you. You're a Mother Teresa, you're a little saint out there helping so many others. And I just love that. But Lord, I do pray for those with suicidal ideations, those threatening to take their life, those depressed, those overwhelmed by anxiety or despair, who see no reason to live, Lord. I ask you, hold back their hands and bring them the deepest of healing. I pray for those mothers now that want to terminate the beautiful gift of life that you've entrusted them with. And I just pray for radical, radical conversion of their hearts, Lord. And I pray for an end to this culture of death. I ask for your mercy, not your justice on this country for the sin of abortion. And I just pray that your mercy continue to bring about conversion, bring about healing, bring about life. There was also a caller came in off air and says, we have a young family whose young daughter died in her sleep. She was only 3.5 years old. What a tragic loss. Lord, we give you these intentions, and I give to you the hearts and the needs, the wants, the desires of all who are crying out to you now as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from southeastern Pennsylvania. Liz is praying with us there. Hi, Liz. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to ask for prayers for my daughter, Emma. She's 23, and she is a sickle cell disease patient. For her and all the others with this disease, it's very painful and very discouraging.
Well, I'm so sorry. I am, and what a pain it is for you as a mother to see your daughter suffer like that. So I want to pray for you, for all the graces that you need, the fortitude, the strength, the love, the compassion, and for your heart. But I want to pray for Liz, too. And Lord, I pray for all those with sickle cell anemia. I just ask right now that in a special way, you eradicate that disease and you bring healing to those who have it, that you mitigate those who are suffering in pain from it now. And I just give to you Liz's daughter. We bring her to you. She is your daughter and your child. And I just ask for these healings, Lord. And it doesn't matter whether it's leprosy or sickle cell, you know, whether it is cancer, doesn't matter whether it's MS, MD, does not matter. Lord, there's nothing you cannot heal. There's not an addiction you cannot break. So I thank you for the visible ways you show us your love and especially your mercy. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can't sneak in a few more calls in the end here. I guess Anita's up next in Philadelphia. Hi, Anita. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Maggie. I just love your show. I'm calling to testify for a blessing that I received last week. I have been lax in listening to the show. And what happened was I started watching Drew or listening to Drew again. And my son is an addict. He has been a drug addict living on the streets on and off for 7 years. Sunday night, he walked into the house after saying all my prayers, the divine mercy, Saint Benedict, thinking about Drew and his show. And my son walked into the house and he asked for help, and he's in a rehab right now. And I attribute it all to the show and to all the good people and prayer warriors that you have praying for everyone there.
Well, Anita, I'll tell you one thing that reaches the heart of God, and it's your prayers as a mother. There's no doubt. I'm just honored to play a small role and be able to pray with you. And I know our spiritual family here is too. But, you know, you're a beautiful witness. We're going to pray for your son. We'll pray this is a new beginning for him, okay? Because
thank you, Drew. Thank you.
You got it. You know, I've seen addiction. Maybe the Lord wants you to hear this today. I mean, I've seen addiction healed. I know it's a lifelong thing. People say, you know, once an addict, you're always an addict. Once you're an alcoholic. No, not with God. Not with God. I mean, God can do anything. He can heal. He created the universe. He can certainly liberate you from that. And Lord, I pray against any demonic element, any deep soul wound, any psychological trauma, anything that might be driving this type of behavior, Lord. And I just ask for the healing that souls need. If it's through medication, through treatment, through psychiatry or psychology, if it's, Lord, just your divine touch, and that's what I ask. I ask for that complete and total healing. And I intercede for Anita as a mother. I ask you just wipe away her tears. I'm grateful that you heard her prayers. And I pray for every other mother and father praying right now, for every other brother and sister, for every other soul that's struggling with their addiction and they want freedom from it. Lord, I bring these souls to the foot of your cross. And today I ask for that freedom. I ask for that liberty. Dave is listening to us in Colorado. Dave, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Hey. Drew, I'd like prayers for my brother, Stan. He's been on dialysis for 2 years. And he doesn't qualify for a kidney transplant and for healing. Also for his daughter, Sabrina, who she's in her mid-40s and she's already had 2 strokes. And she's it's just hard for her to get around. She can't get a job and she just needs healing too.
That's so hard. I'm so sorry to hear that. All right, well, let's bring them, Dave, to the prayer pool here as well. We'll immerse them in that ocean of mercy that the Lord speaks about. I'm going to sneak another call in with you, Dave, so I can get some prayers for Vicki, who's in Kirkwood, Missouri, or St. Louis. Hi, Vicki. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I am praying. My oldest son, he's the oldest of 11.
Wow.
And at one time wanted to be a priest. Wow. And he is bound into the addiction of fentanyl.
Oh, wow.
And on the street. And last I heard, he may have tried going into rehab the other day, but he's struggling. And I want him to have relief. I just want him to come back to who God created him to be.
Yeah, you know, my wife has a theory on that. You know, those who are called to the priesthood, I don't know, Satan sometimes sees that divine mark, I think. And there's a special enmity for them. We'll pray for him right now. We'll lift him up. Fentanyl, as you know, I mean, you see this poison pouring over our borders and affecting so many lives. It's just so dangerous. Let's add, we'll put a blanket of protection around your son right now. Well, Lord, I just pray right now from the moment of these prayers forward that grace reaches this man and that he encounters the right situation or the right person. It might mean hitting rock bottom, Lord. I don't know what your divine plan is, but it be the start of a new beginning for him. And that you honor the prayers of this mother who has prayed and who has wept for her son. And I just pray for all those who are addicted on the street, those who are dealing with this scourge of opiates. Lord, I just ask for your mercy. And that's all I can do. This is a weapon of the evil one. These drugs, they really are. They do nothing but destroy. And I just ask for your mercy. And I give to you everyone on hold with me right now, everyone who has written to me. I just thank you for this beautiful time of prayer. And I thank you for the miracles that are reported every day. And I claim more of them, Heavenly Father. I just ask by the virtue of the power of all of these souls, trusting in your mercy, that there'll be many answered prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for such a beautiful chaplet. I'm here every day at this time to pray that with you. Please tell others about it and do me a favor. I know God is answering prayers. I feel it very powerfully. As God works these miracles in your life, some are very instant. Some may take a time. Some may take a very long time. Don't forget to thank God. And send me an email, drew@relevantradio.com. That's the show email, drew@relevantradio.com. In the byline, put answered prayer, praise report, whatever you want to mark it, but share your answered prayer with me. I'd love it. Also, coming up, this is important. If you are suffering from a gluten intolerance, if you have a food allergy, if you suffer from acid reflux, Dr. Sean O'Mara is going to be stopping by. A fascinating conversation to ensue coming up in about 30 minutes there. So stay with me. There's more straight ahead.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
They didn't take election integrity seriously. Instead, they were so smug about it, calling us election deniers, calling us conspiracy theorists. But if you saw what we witnessed on Tuesday, it was a total disenfranchisement against Republicans. I mean, if you see the election day voters, those who voted on election day, it was about 70% of Republicans. And I don't know if you witnessed, but we had malfunctioning and failing machines that were failing to tabulate the votes.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's a little audio from, I believe his name is Abe Hamada. He's a candidate for the Attorney General in Arizona, giving some thoughts on the election mess that's happening there. We spoke a little bit. Was it yesterday, Maggie? I think it was yesterday. Just about election integrity. And a lot of people were sounding off. I had calls from around the country where people were telling me, hey, I went to vote. I wasn't even on the voter rolls. You know, I don't understand this. We know that mail-in voting had a profound impact on this particular election. And some people feel like there's something not right here. I mean, there are a lot of people around the Trump election that have raised those concerns. But, you know, I get concerned when we in a democratic republic like ours don't feel that our vote, our voice is represented. If there's fear about whether or not our vote's actually going to count. So the question I'm going to raise, we'll speak with Hans von Spakovsky coming up here in a second, is should we reform the way the election process is done? Should we limit how early mail-in balloting can be done? Should there be some sort of general oversight that the states pick up and apply? I mean, I don't know. Let's talk about it. The House is more than likely going to end up, I think, in the hands of the Republicans. You know, look, the news still is covering these reports. There's 217 seats called for the GOP. They need one more. That's it, just to get the majority. But the fact that we're now a week out, right? You're a week out from the election and the ballots. Can you believe it's been a week already since we voted? I mean, it's pretty amazing. And ballots are still being counted. And people are saying, hey, was my vote counted? It makes you wonder. You know, back in the days before computers and mail-in balloting, results would mostly be known, I don't know, in a matter of hours after the polls closed, except for really close races. I mean, even presidential elections. You know, just the way it was. Maybe it'd go into the wee hours of the morning, but, you know, it didn't hang on for weeks, right? But then the year 2000, we had this whole debacle. Remember that election with Al Gore, the hanging Chads, the pregnant Chad debacle, and results, you know, were questioned. You know, we had to try to get that sorted out. There was the case of Harry Truman and Thomas Dewey in 1948, where the election was at first called for Dewey, and then it went to Truman. And there's that famous picture of Truman holding up the Chicago Times with the headline, Dewey defeats Truman. That was an exception, right? That was not the rule. So today, the governor's race in Arizona was just called, right? A week later. Again, this is a week later after that race. That race presented all kinds of problems because one of the candidates is the Secretary of State, the person who's actually in charge of the election, right? Does that make sense? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm not saying there are any shenanigans. I'm just saying it's probably not a good practice to have the person in charge of elections, you know, running in a race where ballots are counted this late. Katie Hobbs wasn't required to relinquish her responsibilities in order to run for the highest office, so she didn't. Right? Why not? One of the biggest issues right now, we'll talk about this with Hans, is mail-in balloting, right? And ballot collecting. A listener wrote, and let me just share this quick email, and I'm very grateful for this email. They said, I don't know if you're aware of this. They wrote this to the show, but I wasn't. That the elections are no longer about the vote and voting, but it really is now about the ballot. It seems to be legal to harvest ballots cast or mailed, etc. The votes cast in person on election day are of lesser importance because the ballots are counted later. So, you know, again, I'll ask my guest about that. And other Republicans are saying, hey, we do need to get on top of this whole, you know, mail-in balloting thing. If you can't beat them, you got to at least join them, right? And if they're going to be competitive with Democrats, since ballot harvesting and mail-in balloting are something they seem to be pretty successful at, what do Republicans need to do? I'm joined right now by Hans von Spakovsky. He's a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former member of the Federal Elections Commission. He wrote a book, and this is the reason I invited him back, called Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. All right, you can go ahead and check that out online. He also wrote Obama's enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. So always a delight to have him here with me. Hans, thank you for your time. Welcome back.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me back.
You know, I had a spirited show yesterday, a lot of people talking about the midterms and ultimately the elections and how long it's taking to get results and where the House was going to end up and the Senate, you know, of course, went to the Dems. It raised the questions just about this, the process of how we vote and how votes are counted. How many ballots maybe you have this number, maybe you don't. How many ballots are being cast before Election Day in our country? Do you know?
Well, the number's been going up. I think the last estimate I saw for this election was close to 50 million, which is a heck of a lot. I mean, that's way too much. And people should recall, look, this is all relatively new. We didn't have early voting until, of all places, Texas actually put in early voting for the first time back in the late 1980s. And since then, states have been adding it more and more. But look, I don't like early voting from a policy standpoint. I mean, I think everybody ought to be voting on the same day. But early voting, where you actually go into a polling place and vote and have to show an ID, is still better than absentee or mail-in ballots, because that is the most insecure way of voting. It's the easiest method of voting to cheat with. And there's all kinds of changes that need to be made. Some states have made those changes. Georgia, Florida, Texas, and a number of other states, all of whom, by the way, Drew Wright, we didn't have any problems in those states in this election. On the other hand, you have states like Arizona and Nevada that haven't put in the kind of security provisions that places like Georgia and Florida have.
Yeah, it's true. That really is true. Yeah, I don't know how true this is, but I heard that a lot of ballots were cast in Pennsylvania before the one and only debate with Fetterman.
Right.
Probably a million votes or something like that. But, you know, Fetterman and Oz finally have this debate. I've got a sister who lives in the state of Pennsylvania. I was talking to her about it. She says, "Did you see the debate?" I said, "Well, I actually watched it online a little bit later." It was such a train wreck. And, you know, a voter who initially voted and then they saw this may want to change their ballot, but it's too late at that point. How many people do you think may have wanted to change their vote after that debate? And does that raise the important question that maybe the window for how many days you can vote early, maybe that should be constricted. Maybe it should be closer to the election and not so far out.
Oh, I agree. I think it should be as short as possible. That's particularly true. I mean, we're talking about the general election here, but that's particularly true for primary elections. Folks don't remember this, but look, in 2020, during the presidential race, Super Tuesday occurred in the middle of March, and it was shortly before we started shutting the whole country down. There were like a dozen states that had their primary elections on Super Tuesday right before the election. Remember, there was still a very spirited, big fight for the Democratic presidential nomination. 2 days before Super Tuesday, Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg dropped out of the primary race.
Wow.
But so many people in those states had voted early that literally, if you look at the numbers today, you'll find that there were hundreds of thousands of votes cast for two candidates who weren't actually in the election on election day. Every single one of those voters who voted early could totally wasted their vote.
Wow. That's amazing. It's tragedy. My guest today, Hans von Spakovsky. I'll tell you what, Hans, stay with me for a second. I'll take an early break here because I want to get into a couple things, such as why it is that mail-in ballots seem to favor Democrats more than Republicans, and you know, whether or not we will see some change. If you want to get in, you want to join the conversation, maybe you want to share your own experience, feel free to do that. The number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Speaking with the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a former member of the Federal Election Commission, the author of Who's Counting? So we'll talk about it. We'll take your calls when I return.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Arizona is one of the most important states in the union, certainly when it comes to elections. And we don't know who's winning one way or another, or who's going to win, because the numbers change depending on what batches are arbitrarily released in a way that undermines confidence in the elections. We should demand that systems are in place to ensure that ballots are counted on election day, not for days and weeks and months afterwards.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, on how mail-in ballots undermine election integrity. You know, I was watching the race in the state of Pennsylvania, and the first thing that the Allegheny a county Republican chairman, San DeMarco, saw on election night after the polls closed was more than 100,000 votes from his home county that dropped for the Democrat, John Fetterman, through mail-in ballots, 100,000 of them. He wasn't sure yet what that meant. You know, did it mean the race was lost? Did you see the initial returns? I mean, it was ridiculous how skewed they were. All these mail-in ballots put him like 83% ahead of Oz. He also knew Republicans needed to fix something in the party's way of doing things going forward. And this is the big conversation in the country right now, that those initial large dump of voters were mail-in ballots from Democrats. And he said, we've got to somehow, if Democrats want to have a shot, then they got to embrace this. And you know, this whole mail-in balloting really began during 2020, during the pandemic. And we'll see where attitudes are. We'll see how this all plays out. I'm joined today by an expert on voting. His name is Hans von Spakovsky. He wrote a book on voter fraud, and you can check that out. It's always good to have him here with us today. He hails from the Heritage Foundation. His book is called Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. And Hans, I do want your take on this. We've got a lot to get to, and I'm going to get some phone calls in here as well. The mail-in ballots, give us some history on this too, because you know a lot of people thought, okay, you're in the military or you're sick or you're away. It's a very fractional, very minor contribution to the overall vote. Not anymore. It has now become almost the standard bearer here in the country for the way things are working, at least on the Democrat side of the aisle, and they seem to have mastered it. It had an influence, I think, on the midterms. But give us some history on it. How did it get initiated? Is this the future of the way Americans are going to vote?
Well, I hope not. And it used to be that all the states pretty much restricted absentee ballots to you had to have an excuse to use them, which, you know, made sense. You're either too sick or disabled to make it to a polling place, or you're going to be out of town on election day. But keep in mind, that was back when there was only one day of election. Yeah. It's pretty hard to argue that you're going to be out of town because of work when you can vote early right. for weeks, right. A month and a half before election day. Right. But the other problem with them is that they're the most insecure way of voting. And if states are going to do that, I mean, first of all, I think they ought to limit them as much as possible. Only people have a real excuse for not being able to make a polling place. Second, if they're going to do it, then they need to be sure that, one, an ID requirement that applies to in-person voting also applies to absentee balloting. And there are easy ways to do that, so it's no trouble for folks to comply with it. You should be no vote trafficking allowed. By vote trafficking, what I mean is, you know, it's one thing for you, the voter, to either mail your ballot back or you or a member of your family hand deliver it, or maybe even a designated caregiver, again, if you're sick or disabled. But about half the states allow third-party strangers to go to people's homes to pick up their ballot. So what does that mean? It means candidates, party activists, political consultants can all show up at voters' homes to pick up their ballots, which means they're in a position to pressure and coerce voters to vote a particular way or to decide, well, maybe I'm not going to deliver this ballot because this guy has a history of voting for the opposite political party. And how's a voter ever going to know that his ballot didn't get delivered? Or, as has happened in numerous cases, they alter the ballot. They open it up, they change the ballot, or they just take the ballots from voters, fill them out, and forge signatures.
You know, let me throw a question out to those who are listening to him. We'll take a few calls from around the country. Do you trust the election system? I mean, do you believe there's corruption? You believe that everything is fine the way it is? I know you haven't... you have an election integrity scorecard. Let's talk about that, and let's grab some calls from around the country. What is this integrity scorecard that you have?
This is something we created a year ago where we took the Heritage Foundation. We took the laws in all 50 states plus the District of Columbia, since they vote in the presidential election, and we compared them to a set of best practices standards that we had developed, 47 different criteria, to judge how good or how bad are a state's laws in ensuring an honest election. And it covers everything from whether the state has an ID law for both in-person and absentee balloting. So what do they do to maintain the accuracy of their voter registration rolls? So find people who have died, get them off the roll. To find people who have moved to other states and gotten registered there to take them off. And then we rated every state in the country.
Yeah. Wow.
And perfect score is 100. No state got 100. The highest score right now is Tennessee with an 84.
Wow.
Nevada, where we just had a razor-thin election, mm-hmm. is ranked at 50th in the country.
No way.
Their score is a 28.
Wow.
And it's because they have no voter ID requirement of any kind. They mail a ballot to every single registered voter, despite the fact that their voter registration list is in horrible shape. I mean, it's just all kinds of problems like that in that particular state.
That's what I still never understood, why people feel that having an ID to vote is not a good idea. I just think it's a great idea. But anyway, a lot of debate over that. Let me take a few calls for you. Mary is in Moline. I don't think I said that right. Illinois. Is it Moline, Illinois, I think. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Hi, I am in Illinois, and I just think that the risk for voter fraud is immense here. One, we are not asked for any ID when we go to vote. We have to write and sign our name. That's it. So, you know, you don't know. But they also solicit requests for mail-in ballots. In fact, this year we got something that said, check here and you'll get perpetual mail-in ballots. I have adult children who have moved out of state. They still get those things here. So I know the registration lists are not at all up to date. So the risk of fraud in Illinois is great. I don't think it can be trusted at all.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. I'll let Hans respond to you. Go right ahead.
Well, in fact, you're exactly right. I hate to tell you, Illinois is ranked 39th in the country, and our integrity scorecard is the worst. They have a score of only 49. And it's things like that, or the fact that the state has recently, not too long ago, put in automatic voter registration. What that means is that folks going into DMV offices for a driver's license and other state agencies, they don't ask whether they want to be registered, but they get automatically registered to vote. And, of course, what does that mean? Well, it means people get registered multiple times, and Illinois, of course, provides driver's licenses to aliens, including illegal aliens, which means what? They're going to get registered to vote. I mean, Illinois is an example of one of the bad states in the country. Drew, I should say, you said, well, do I trust the system? Hmm. It depends on what state you're in. Some states are much better than others.
True. James is in Chicago. He's got an interesting question for you, Hans. James, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. You know, I've had this idea for 20 years, and I've been floating it around for a long time. I'm actually thinking of running for public office at some point because there's just so many issues. So I don't understand if I think we should do it electronically tied to our Social Security number. Hmm. If we can do our taxes, which are way more complicated, and tie it to a Social Security number. You still have kiosk in voting areas if people don't have computers at home. Mm-hmm. But, once it's tied to your Social Security number, you're registered to vote, and then you can go to a universal system that all the states use, and you can check to see if your vote was cast.
I love it.
What's the problem?
James, I thought the same thing, too. I said there's got to be some sort of way that we can have convenience other than mail-in ballots, maybe something electronically, and have a way with some sort of technology that, you know, encrypts this data so it can't be hacked or stolen and there's a way to verify it. How's your thoughts on that? There's got to be some future way that we're going to vote in this country other than having to put a stamp on our mail-in ballot.
Well, there's two parts to this. One, right now states are prohibited from collecting the full Social Security number from people registering to vote, which they ought to be able to do, because that's the only unique identifier we have in the country, and they ought to be able to do it. But I wish there were some way to do electronic voting over the internet, but every every task force that has looked at this, including the National Science Foundation and other task forces that have been formed to do it, including the first one that was out in California and included all these experts from Silicon Valley, they've all recommended against it. And the reason being that there's so much fraud and it's so easy to commit fraud over the internet that they basically have said that the current software being used, the current hardware being used, and the organization, the internet, there's no way to guarantee the protection of the system or to protect against the kind of hacks that could massively steal an election. So until that technology is improved, right now, it can't be done.
Wow. Hans, you have a few more minutes. You got to run, or can you stay for a few more?
I actually need to run. Sorry about that.
No, but, no problem. I'll tell you, we'll get
out of my office.
We'll have to revisit this because literally my lines are jammed. A lot of people have some great questions here, but we'll bring you back to revisit it. We've only scratched the surface. Your book, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. What's the best way to connect to that if somebody wants to read it?
Well, they can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but actually we've got a newer book out called Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. That only came out last year, so that's the book I'd recommend to folks.
I don't have to tell my producer about that. Give me that title again, Our Broken Elections?
Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote, which is exactly the topic we've been talking about.
You're not kidding. I didn't know that. I'm going to check that book out. Hey, Hans, thank you. We will catch up soon, okay?
All right, sounds good.
You got it. News and headlines are straight ahead on the other side. If you're suffering a gluten intolerance, a food allergy, we're going to take a look at that and more.